The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory. The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
A 22-year-old kid took his grandfather's hunting rifle, drove to a college campus, and shot one of the most famous political figures in America in front of 3,000 people. He left a confession sitting under the keyboard in his bedroom. He told his boyfriend what he'd done. His own parents recognized him and talked him into surrendering. And somewhere between that day and this one, the whole industry decided none of it actually happened the way it obviously happened. There are more than a dozen theories about Charlie Kirk's death. Some of them are just noise. Some of them have real reach, real money behind them, and enough true believers that they've become their own kind of fact. So let's take those two, put them next to evidence that actually has come out, that you can, in fact, see with your own eyes, and see what survives. There's a lot in this case, and this is not a political piece. I am not here to say anything about Charlie's political beliefs, agree, disagree, whatever. Everyone's entitled to their own opinions. This is not that. This is a murder case. This is about facts of a case. Beliefs and politics have nothing to do with what we are about to be talking about. So let's be clear on that. And I'd love to get your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube, or wherever you're watching this, as we work our way through all of it. All right. Especially if you're someone who's not been following this at any great length, maybe you're hearing more and more about it and you're like, well, what about this? What about that? I'm going to try and go through some of the things out there, some of the noise that is out there on this case that is clearly easily debunkable, if you will, or explained, or just really being correctly informed on, in case you haven't had a chance to dig into it yourself. I'm going to try and help you with that. I did the digging. You certainly can. No one is stopping you from checking the facts or anything like that. But if you're looking for a way to kind of go, oh, okay, that puts it into a little better perspective for me to understand. This is a video for you. The first theory is that Tyler Robinson is a patsy, that he was framed. And maybe he wasn't even on that campus. The second theory is that the shot came from somewhere else or from somebody else. There was a second shooter. And that Robinson is taking the fall. Those are the two big ones we're going to talk about today. All right. I know there's a gazillion more out there, but we got to start somewhere. Okay. And we'll probably cover more as time goes on, but let's start here. The loudest voice pushing the theory, the Patsy theory, as you probably know, Candace Owens, who worked alongside Charlie Kirk at Turning Point USA. She has said she feels confident that Tyler Robinson did not murder Charlie Kirk. She has called him a total patsy who wasn't even there that day. She's pointed at Kirk's widow, at Turning Point staff, at foreign governments, which she's never done across dozens of episodes, is name who actually did it and explain how. It's doubt pointed in a lot of directions and never landing on anything you can check. And I want to take a moment here because she's a human being too. Before people are like, oh, she's crazy. Like, she's a human being who lost a very good friend. And it sounds like they had a very unique relationship between the two of them, both in media, both with so much similar viewpoints on things. If you lose your friend in such a tragic way, in a senseless way, if you've ever lost, think about it, if you've ever lost someone in a senseless, tragic way, whether it be to something like this, murder, a drunk driver, something where there was so much more life in your friend or your loved one, and it was extinguished senselessly, you're going to want to believe there's more of a reason to it than some narcissistic 20-some-year-old psychopath that decided it was their duty to play God that day. Again, whether you, nothing about their beliefs, you can't, we don't do that. We don't just go kill people for things like this. You're going to want to believe there's something deeper. There's a deeper meaning behind it. That's human. And it's not to say that that is going to pan out, that there's going to be a deeper meaning or there's going to be something bigger and more conspiratorial and all that behind it. And I say, look, good on anyone for digging anywhere and not just accepting facts on facts. But when you have, I mean, a lot of facts here, DNA, video, I mean, there's a lot. At some point, you got to go, well, here's reality and here's not reality. Here's emotion. Here's fact. They're two different things. But I get the vigor. I get the anger. I get the passion. I get how minds can get caught up in what I guess you could call almost say the fog of war. And sometimes in those moments, you can go down paths that look pretty clear and factual to you, even though to many of the rest of the world, it does not, because sometimes you're just too close to the sun. That's how I understand it. That's how I understand that sort of a dynamic. Let's check what we can. Okay. It's doubt pointed in a lot of directions and never landing on anything you can check. So let's check. And your thoughts in the comments section, Substack, YouTube, like I said, as we go through this. Tyler Robinson wrote a note. It's not really a question. Investigators found it under the keyboard in his room. In it, he said he had the opportunity to take out Charlie Kirk, and he was going to take it. After the shooting, he texted his roommate, his boyfriend, Lance Twiggs, telling him he'd had enough of Kirk's hatred, which, again, there are certainly many, many things that Charlie Kirk has said in his life that would make people angry, that they would disagree with vehemently. Now, it's not for me here to say right now, I'm not making this political. I'm not here to say you shouldn't be angry or you should be angry. But look, it's cause and effect. He was a polarizing figure with his, and I think he would admit that too. I mean, it is what it is. It is what it is. When you say things that are going to upset large swaths of people, some of those people are going to not necessarily have the restraint that others have. Or we can go, that's their opinion. They're clearly wrong. I don't agree with them. But I'm going to move on with my day. Some people's minds don't go there. Some people's minds go to, I must take that person out. I must destroy that person. I must remove that person from the planet because they are being perceived to that individual as a threat to their very existence. And that's the danger of very heated speech in any direction. Twiggs told investigators that Robinson came home, paced around the apartment, cried, and said he wished he hadn't done it. You think? The physical evidence is where the Patsy theory stops being an argument. An FBI analyst testified about the DNA on the towel the rifle was wrapped in. The male DNA on that towel was roughly 1.7 octillion times more likely to belong to Robinson and Twiggs than to Twiggs and some random stranger. That's a one with seven zeros after it. Investigators found spent shell casings at Robinson's apartment. The ATF matched those casings to the murder weapon. And they matched the engraving tool that made the marks on those cases to a Dremel rotary tool sitting in Robinson's own home. And while we're on those engravings, honestly, honesty has to cut both ways in this case. In the first days after the shooting, there was a widely repeated claim that the casings were engraved with transgender ideology, some kind of coded message. That was actually false. What was actually cut into the brass was internet meme junk, a video game reference, and a line from an old Italian anti-fascist song. That claim got repeated at very high levels, and it was wrong. Being wrong about this case is not a partisan sport. People on every side of it have grabbed the detail that fits their story and run with it before checking whether it was even true. That's exactly how a case like this fills up with theories in the first place. And if you're on reality's side here, which I am, you have to go with where the facts are. Even if it doesn't necessarily get on a narrative that you want it to, or it, because it argues point or emotion stronger. For the Patsy theory to be true, all of it has to be planted. That's a big one. So if we're to believe this is all somehow not him, the note, the text, the DNA, the casings, the tool. His parents have to be lying about recognizing their own son. Twiggs has to be lying under a grant of immunity. And Robinson himself, sitting in a Provo courtroom in a gray suit facing the death penalty, has to be choosing to protect the people who framed him instead of saying a single word to save his own life. When you look at the guy, do you think this is a guy who's like, oh, I'm going to stand up for the people who framed me and go down and not say, it was this, it was that government, it was this person, it was, yeah. And then you also got to think, these larger-than-life entities picked that guy to execute their plan. I don't know. If you're a massive government or you're this or that, I think you might have more qualified hit people than Tyler Robinson. Just saying. It's the part that breaks it. And it isn't even a forensic point. It's common sense. If you're powerful enough to fake FBI DNA results and frame an innocent man, you'd not pick this guy. You don't pick the kid who leaves a written confession under a keyboard, tells his boyfriend, and gets turned in by his own mom and dad. You pick a ghost, a drifter, someone with no phone, no partner, no family paying attention. The Patsy theory asks you to believe in a conspiracy sophisticated enough to fool the FBI lab and stupid enough to frame the one person guaranteed to get caught. Part of the Patsy theory is the claim that Robinson wasn't even on that campus. Okay, so look at what the surveillance actually showed. The lead investigator testified that Robinson's movements were tracked in and out of that campus four separate times that day. His car pulls into the parking garage in the morning, walks over to the courtyard where the event is going to happen and talks with Turning Point staff. He leaves. He comes back later, buys food, walks into a wooded area carrying a backpack, comes back out without it. Same wooded area where the rifle wrapped in a towel was later recovered. A man who was framed and never present doesn't show up on campus cameras four times and doesn't get filmed walking into the exact patch of woods where the murder weapon turns up. And the towel matters too because it ties the woods to the bedroom. The DNA on it comes back to Robinson and his boyfriend. The rifle inside it belonged to Robinson's own grandfather. This is not a weapon that appeared out of nowhere with a stranger's story attached to it. It's a family gun carried by a man captured on camera, wrapped in a towel, carrying his DNA, left in woods he was filmed walking into. Every link in that chain points at the same person, and none of them points anywhere else. That's the first theory. And I am all ears if you have a sensible way of debunking anything I just said. I am all ears in the comments. As I say with everything, I could be wrong. I am just trying to assemble the facts and present them in a clear way, as unbiased as I possibly can. And this is a story that is ripe for conspiracy and very segmented opinions. That's the first theory. Now the second one. Let's go there. And this is the one that takes some actual work because it's built on things that sound genuinely strange until you understand them. The second shooter theory feeds on anomalies. And there are three big ones that get repeated over and over. And there's some, I would say, rather bluntly, shitty investigative work that went on. And shitty investigative work often looks like conspiracy. So let's take them one at a time and give each one as straight of an answer as we can. Anomaly number one. There were no shell casings found on the rooftop. People hear that and they think, well, if somebody fired a rifle from up there, where's the brass? The shooter leaves casings behind. An empty roof means nobody fired from it. Well, here's the answer. The murder weapon was a Mauser Model 98. It's a bolt-action rifle. A bolt-action does not throw its brass. When you fire it, the spent casing stays inside the chamber until you manually work the bolt to eject it. That's the whole design. So a shooter using a bolt-action rifle leaves no brass on the ground because the casing is still in the gun, and that is exactly where investigators found it. When they recovered that rifle, wrapped in a towel in a wooded area near campus, there was one spent casing still in the chamber, along with three unfired rounds. The brass was never missing. It was in the rifle, precisely where a bolt action leaves it. Now, if you don't know guns, I don't. It sounds weird to me, too. And it's like, okay, now I know. There was never going to be a casing on that roof unless he ejected it and walked away. And he didn't. And number two. A second bullet was found on the roof of a different building. This one gets a lot of mileage because it sounds like proof of a second gun in a second location. A second bullet means a second shooter, right? And if you stop right there, holy whoa. The answer to that is that the round was a live 223 cartridge. Unfired, still fully intact. It was ejected by a police officer clearing his own patrol rifle during the massive law enforcement response after the shooting. You rack the gun. Came up. Well, it's still a bullet. You know, Charlie Kirk was killed with a .30-06. A .223 is a completely different cartridge. It is the standard round police officers carry in their patrol rifles. So the mysterious second bullet was an unfired police round that popped out of an officer's gun while he was handling it. It was never fired at anyone. It has nothing to do with the shooting. Different caliber, unfired, dropped by a cop, and completely explainable. That's the entire story. I know. But what? No, there's not more. That happens. Give an active shooter situation, the cop's getting his gun ready in case it needs to be used. Anomaly number three, and this is the strongest card the theory holds, so it means it deserves a real answer. The ATF could not match the bullet that killed Charlie Kirk to the rifle. That's true. It is not a rumor. An ATF firearms examiner testified that the bullet fragment recovered from Kirk's body could not be identified or excluded as coming from that Mauser. Inconclusive. Whoa. That sounds big. But you have to understand what inconclusive means and what it doesn't mean. It does not mean the bullet came from a different gun. It means there weren't enough usable marks left on the fragment to make a comparison either way. The bullet was too damaged. And the casing tells the same story a bullet normally would. That spent casing in the rifle's chamber was matched to the rifle. The casings in Robinson's apartment were matched to the rifle. The rifle was in Robinson's possession with his DNA on the towel around it. The bullet couldn't be matched because it shattered on impact, not because it came from somewhere else. The forensic chain doesn't have a hole in it. It just runs through the brass instead of the bullet. But how did that bullet, how did his body stop that? Well, I'll tell you something. And look, I'm not a firearms expert, but I know several. I've talked to several. I'm sure I'll be talking to far more in the coming weeks and months. Here's the thing. Bullet from a handgun and a bullet from a rifle travel very differently. I have seen several firearms experts talk about this now. Several have testified. Here's a prime example, because it is shocking to think of, like, this powerful rifle. How did his body stop the bullet? And look, to the layperson like myself, it sounds like, well, that's weird. If you talk to a firearms expert, they will explain to you how these bullets travel. The way essentially they are swirling in the air or not. A rifle bullet is swirling in the air. And upon impact, phew. The best example that I have heard thus far, and I hope this resonates or helps me make some more sense about this. People that have a lot of experience in this world have testified of shooting into a vehicle. Sometimes the headrest, just a cushion and a headrest of a vehicle will stop a rifle bullet, but not a handgun bullet. It has everything to do with the physics, and I'm not here to do a physics lesson. But look, you can look this up. You can do your research, or you can just scream at me, "You're wrong!" Do your research. You'll find the same information. The physics of it, to the layperson, they seem weird. But then you start looking at actual research done that has nothing to do with the Charlie Kirk case, done while Charlie Kirk was alive, before he was even born. I mean, it's It's the physics of how these things work. The body could, in fact, stop that bullet. I know. I thought it was odd, too. But then I also said, I have zero knowledge of how this stuff works. So maybe I should yield to the experts that have nothing to do with this case, that are talking about these sort of bullets and trajectories and dynamics and aerodynamics and physics and all of that, completely independent of the Charlie Kirk case, and go, oh, that's interesting. The more you know. So there's that. That's the three big anomalies. And all three have answers. But I'm not going to stand here and tell you this investigation was clean, because it wasn't. There's one thing in this case that genuinely hasn't been resolved, and I'm not going to pretend otherwise. After the shooting, an officer found an empty pistol holster lying in the grass in the courtyard. He didn't know whose it was. Then, at the hearing, the defense pointed out that a different officer's report said a gun was actually found in that holster. One account says empty. The other says there was a gun. That contradiction has not been cleared up. And it's a real loose end, that the defense is going to pounce on. But look at what that loose end actually is. It's not evidence of a second shooter. It's evidence that the scene was worked sloppily and that the paperwork doesn't line up. A holster in the grass with two conflicting reports tells you the investigation had gaps, that security absolutely sucked. It does not tell you somebody else killed Charlie Kirk. Sloppy is not the same thing as staged, and that distinction is the whole ballgame, because almost every anomaly that these theories are built on comes down to the same thing. Not a conspiracy, just people not doing their jobs cleanly and leaving holes that got filled in with something more exciting than the truth. Which brings me to the single fact that should end this entire conversation, and it has nothing to do with ballistics or DNA. Tyler Robinson has a defense attorney named Catherine Nestor. Some would say she's good, and her client is facing execution. She has access to every piece of evidence the state is holding, including material the public will never see. Over 5 days of testimony, she went after the state's case hard. She found the dead body camera, the sloppy holster, the witnesses who were never interviewed. She got an FBI analyst to admit that DNA testing can't tell you when or how someone's DNA got onto an object. She found every weak point there was to find, and there were more than there should have been. And in 5 days, with her client's life on the table, she never once suggested that somebody else killed Charlie Kirk. Not a second shooter, not another location, not one alternate version of what happened. Her entire defense wasn't that the state hasn't proven its case, not that some other person pulled the trigger. The one human being on this planet with the most to gain from a second shooter and every piece of evidence in front of her to find one did not name one, because there isn't one to name. That's not my opinion. That's what the record shows. Charlie Kirk was 31 years old. He had a wife and two small children. Whatever you thought of him, he was a man who walked onto a campus to answer questions from students and never walked off of it. His family has asked for privacy while they bury him and raise his kids without him. They deserve a story about his death that is true. And I know, look, there's people are like, ask for privacy, and then we have fireworks going off at the funeral. I know. That's a whole other conversation. I'm talking about the murder case. I'm talking about the actual murder. You have a young man who had his grandfather's rifle, made a terrible choice, tried to get away with it, and did it. It is not a comfortable story, but it has a singular advantage of being real. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. And as I say with everything, I could be wrong. Always open to hear your thoughts, contradictory thoughts, and really listening. But as the evidence is right now, that's where it sits. We'll continue our conversation on Substack, and YouTube links are in the description. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you're downloading podcasts. We do greatly appreciate that. Until next time, my name's Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory. The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Normally in these ads, you expect somebody to ask you to buy something, but this is something different. I'm Julian Barnes, and I'm a reporter for The New York Times. I'm a national security reporter, and that means I'm reporting on military operations. These are fast-paced, quickly moving situations. What exactly is happening on the ground is often shrouded in mystery, but we turn to trusted sources, satellite imagery, and expertise built up over years in order to ferret out the facts that wouldn't otherwise come to light. I'm here to ask you to seek out a news source that does firsthand fact-based reporting. If it's your local paper, great. If it's The Times, thank you. Because where you go for your information matters.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory. The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory. The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory. The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory. The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.